There are strength in numbers. It is often said that it's better to have others with you, to be united in a common front, rather than to try to take care of things by yourself, try to do things all alone. We need others in our lives to be able to help us to do what must be done. And this can be seen in all sorts of different ways in our lives, and being with family, having a family together to be able to do better, to have a community, have our church family to be able to strengthen us, to encourage us. A symbol that I thought of that kind of helps explain this is actually right in nature itself. When you look at the animals who are often prey to other animals, animals like deer and antelope and buffalo and those kinds of herd animals, they form a herd to be able to protect themselves. They know that they have that strength in numbers. A predator often doesn't want to have to take on a whole herd of a large animal. It tries to pick out one individual. And the thing I remember reading about how these herd animals, they're often, as they're moving together as a herd, so they're all kind of moving together in the same, or you think of a flock of birds, they're all kind of moving together in unison. And so it a lot of times a predator can't distinguish one from another. And so they don't want to try to tackle something so huge. They kind of they have more of a tendency to back off. But if you have, this is why a lot of times predators will go after the sick or an injured animal or the young. They're not able to quite keep up with the rest of the healthy adults. And so they stand out from the rest of the pack. And so the predator is able to focus on that smaller one, that sick one. And so to counteract that, a lot of times a herd will have their young right there in the middle of the herd so that there's a lot of large adults being able to protect the young, able to protect them from predators and the like. And so they're able to, it's really a way to show how we have strength in numbers. They understand that in nature. And so too, we see it so often in our lives. And the readings really show how it's also important to have unity with Christ. That we do better by having our community, our whole being unified with Christ, rather than us trying to be an individual, trying to figure things out all on our own. We need that church community. We need that unity with Christ. When we look at the second reading today from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we hear St. Paul talking really about how already there is division in a young church. He's describing how there are people in the city of Corinth, who he's writing to, that there are those who say that they are with Paul. There's others that they're with Apollos. Others with Cephas, it's another name for St. Peter. And there are some with Christ. And St. Paul points out, well, is Christ divided? Are there suddenly several different Christs kind of going about here or something like that? But he's saying, no, we are supposed to be unified in speech and what we believe. Not about, I'm with this particular apostle, I'm with this particular apostle. There were several different people, Paul and Apollos and St. Peter and others who were trying to teach, but it wasn't meant to be a division within the church. We're meant to be unified with Christ. And so even today, a good lesson that we are to be unified with Christ. You know, it could be so easy to get bombarded with so many thoughts and opinions and different things, and who we support and who we don't support, and all these different things, and leaders and government and church and all these different things. But the lesson really to be unified in Christ, to be focused on that love of Christ. And so why is that important? Because Christ wants to lead us to something better. We hear in the first reading and in the first half of the gospel about a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah. And he talks about an area known as the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, or land of Zebulun and Naphtali. These are two of the tribes of Israel, the Old Testament tribes. And it happened to be in the area right around the Sea of Galilee, which is in northern present-day Israel, quite a ways north of Jerusalem. And it's this region that was where Jesus ministered most of his life. It's this land of Zebulun and Naphtali. And what Isaiah is pointing out is that how there has been much trouble in that land. Throughout all of Israel, there are different times when there were different difficulties, enemies coming and invading, and different things, whether it was just problems with crops and all sorts of different things. But he's describing that it's been a land of darkness, difficulty, hardship. But that these people who have sit in darkness have seen a great light, Isaiah says. And those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. And so it's giving hope that something better is coming. That it's not just in a land of darkness, a land of gloom, of death. And so with the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew here, that we heard today, Matthew is giving this image of how Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy from Isaiah, that this in this land of Zebulun and Naphtali, something greater is coming. Isaiah was really foretelling the coming of Christ, of the Messiah. And now Jesus is coming and showing us the way out of darkness and into the light, into this land of light. You notice in the second part of the gospel kind of changes tone. We hear now how Jesus is beginning to call his apostles. This is really early on in the Gospel of Matthew. And so already we've seen Jesus do a few healings. He's cast out a few demons. He's done a few different things here and there. But now, that was almost like that was sort of the preview of things to come. Now is coming the main event, so to speak. And now he's gathering his apostles to begin his ministry. And so we hear about four of those apostles, two sets of brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, and then James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And we hear how they are called to become fishers of men, no longer simply catching fish, but helping lead others to Christ. Christ's purpose is to lead us out of darkness and into light. So often when I was talking about how we need those numbers, strength in numbers. If we try to do things by ourselves, it can get overwhelming. Maybe you've experienced that yourself when you try to do things that are too big just for yourself. It gets overwhelming. We get stressed. It feels like we're in a land of darkness. But yet, when we are able to have others help us, when we're able to depend on others to be in our lives, to help us, to guide us, then we come into more of the light. And when we depend, when we are united with Christ, Christ is going to be our helper. Christ is going to be the Savior who leads us to light. Let us trust in God Let us trust in his love. Continue to follow Christ to eternal life.